UFC 278, man, was one of those cards that kind of like reinvigorated my love for watching MMA, right? Like, I don't know. It's not like, don't get me wrong, the fights haven't been terrible lately, right? But like, let's look back through the UFC schedule lately, right? Most recently, Vera versus Cruz. Not a bad fight, right? Like, some decent fights on that card too. And like, but again, with the headliner, like, it kind of went how you thought it was going to go. Like, Dominic Cruz looked good in that fight, but you know that he's on the downward end of his career. He's been knocked out at this point, right? He's been hurt several times. I don't know. It's just like that same excitement wasn't there for me for that card. Like, I was excited to watch it. It was a great fight, and it was a great performance by Vera. But, like, it didn't have that same type of hype around it, right? And then, like, you had Santos versus Hill. I mean, again, you kind of thought Hill was going to win that one, and that kind of went how you thought it would too, right? Pena versus Nunes too, same kind of deal. And then you go back, and the fight before that, the headliner was Ortega versus Rodriguez, and that ended in kind of like disappointing fashion, you know? But like, two fights on this fucking card, Rockhold versus Costa and Usman versus Edwards, like, really just made it. Fucking like, it reminded you of why you do watch the fights, right? And like, why you do tune in for these moments and stuff, because like, and it always is undeniably like, pay-per-views just always have the potential for that bigger like wow factor, right? Because everybody's tuned into it, and there is more on the line when there's a title fight, and title fights tend to be on pay-per-views, right? So you're not, I shouldn't bitch too much, because you're not gonna get that on every single fight night that they host, right? Like, the UFC's too big. They have a pretty deep middle class at this point. And a lot of, by middle class even, I guess I'm referring to, like, not only people outside of the top 15, but I guess in that 10 to 15 range too, right? Where they're good enough to headline a card and it's enjoyable and you get to watch high-level MMA, right? Like, you get a quality product put out there, but just guys, like, that's just where the UFC's at, right? They're massive. And it's maybe not fair of me to criticize like that, but damn, like, I can't remember. You gotta think that this is one of the greatest knockouts of all, like, of all time, right? Just because of the magnitude of it and the way the fight was going leading up to it. And also, I mean, probably the greatest comeback victory in UFC title fight history that I can think of, right? Especially against Usman, like, against a guy who, like, you know how he likes to fight. Like, this is how he fights. Like, yes, he's knocked out Masvidal, right? And yes, he's shown that he has power, but Usman grinds on you for the duration of the fight, and once he breaks you, and it felt like he broke Leon, like, even, like, I wasn't there, but through the screen, obviously, right? Like, you're looking at him and just trying to read his body language, and, like, it feels like his corner's trying to, like, inspire him, and man, just so many things about it. And DC and Rogan are writing him off, and then you hear Anna go, well, you know, that's not like the cloth from which he's cut, and then boom, he lands it. Paws out with the right, throws the left, and then brings the fucking left high kick up right behind it, and Usman slides right into it, and it's like, oh, man. I mean, besides the first round, because, okay, here's the other thing too, right, is Leon Edwards had a great first round, like, as good a first round as you could ask for. And I thought that, honestly, like, it was weird because I was talking to my wife about this, like, right before the fight. I was like, okay, Edwards has better jiu-jitsu, like, technical, like, jiu-jitsu than Usman. Not that he's an overall better grappler. I mean, you got to see that, like, Usman, when he pushed him up against the cage and put him in those situations and started getting the takedown, in terms of overall MMA grappling, Usman seems to be superior there, right? But I was telling my wife, I was like, well, I think Edwards has an advantage in that jiu-jitsu department, though. But the problem is, how is he ever going to get there? And then he hits an outside trip, and I think it caught Usman off guard. And now all of a sudden, Edwards isn't mounting. He's around to the back. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, Edwards could finish this here. Like, Edwards is much better than Kamaru here. And Kamaru is not used to being in positions like this. And in fact, the only other loss of his career, I believe, was a rear naked choke. Right? I think, like, the first fight of his professional career, if I'm not mistaken. Fact check me on that. But I think it was a rear naked choke, and I think it was the first fight of his career. Right? So I'm like, oh, he's in this dangerous position against a guy who has legitimate jiu-jitsu. Like, very legitimate, very threatening jiu-jitsu. So I don't know. I was like, fuck, and they're dry, right? They're relatively dry. It's the first round. But Usman showed that he was very sound defensively, actually, from there, right? Was able to ride that out. But you got to think Edwards is riding a high now, right? Like, he's got a confidence boost from that round. Like, he's like, all right, like, I'm fucking, like, I'm up a round for sure on this guy. And then Usman comes out. And you know what it is? And DC, like, mentioned this, too, on the commentary. It really is just Usman's relentless like his pressure. Like, yes, he's got a great jab and everything, but it's the pressure. It breaks people over time. And you got to see that, like, Edwards was holding the takedowns and stuff off well early, but over the course of the fight, as Usman just continues to walk you down. And you'll notice too, like, even when the rounds open up, like, Usman comes out to the center very quickly. Like, he asserts his position in the center of the octagon immediately. And he, like, just starts pushing you backwards, and he fights up against the cage well, right? Like, obviously, like, he's grinding on you there. He does very well with his head positioning and stuff. He's a great MMA grappler. He's a great cage grappler. And he's got power in his hands, and he was landing some shots on Edwards that were hurting him, and it just did look like Edwards had given up on himself, and you could feel his corner trying to motivate him and telling him, like, hey, quit feeling sorry for yourself. Like, you know, like, and maybe there were moments you got to think that you go to dark places when you're in there, right? You got to think that you go to dark places like that. I did love, actually, not to sidetrack, but, like, I did love that Dana White attested in the post-fight press conference to, like, the fact that people will never know what Rockhold and Costa went through, like, the war they went through, that physical exertion. They will never know what that feels like, right? Like, you have to respect that shit. And for Edwards to go through what he went through for, I mean, essentially three rounds, right? Like, three straight rounds, and you're getting dominated for most of the fifth too, right? And you work yourself out of a tough position, get to your feet, start giving yourself a chance, and you just throw the fucking perfect combination, the perfect setup at the perfect time, and that head kick fucking boom, just lands so clean. And you got to think, too, like, this is the other thing. If Leon Edwards doesn't have the technical striking that he has, right? If he can't throw that technique with that effortless just, like, flop, right? It's not like he threw it, like, super, super hard. It was that he threw it flawlessly. The reason that it had the power that it did is because Leon Edwards executed perfect technique deep into a fight when he was undoubtedly tired. If your technique is perfect, right, it will show through when you're tired. If you, like, that's the first thing that goes, right? Like, so if you start throwing and overexerting with big shots, your technique will start getting sloppy. And that's what a lot of guys do when they get tired, to compensate. Leon Edwards, though, stayed calm in that moment, and he just fucking delivered. And it hit home, and, like, it's like, wow. Less than a minute left. Like, the only other more spectacular comeback I can think of in title fight history is Anderson Silva versus Chael Sonnen when he caught him in the triangle. That, at least off the top of my head. I mean, like, you, and, like, it's, man, Usman gives you that feeling of inevitability when he's fighting. Like, I was writing it off too, like, DC, and, like, what really were the odds when Usman gets there that he's going to make that mistake? And Usman fought a near-perfect fight the entire time. Like, nearly perfect, right? Like, I would imagine when this opens up, if they do fight again, Usman's probably going to be the favorite. He still dominated the fight. But in fighting, you can make one mistake. One mistake. Edwards lost almost every minute of that round, right? Except for 5 minutes. He lost 15 minutes. He lost essentially, like, what? 15 plus 4, 19 of the 25 minutes. Maybe a little more if you consider control time towards the beginning. Whatever, you get my point. But despite all of that, and despite all of the work that Usman did, it took one perfectly executed clean shot. And it had to land that way, because even if you hurt guys like Usman, right? Like, what are the odds that if you just, like, stun him? We've seen him get, like, cracked and, like, wobbled a little bit against, like, guys like Colby, right? But he recovers and he comes back, right? So it's like, what are the odds that you're actually going to get him out of there, even if you do hurt him? But the way that it landed, he put him out in one fucking shot. And it was just, like, brilliantly timed, brilliantly executed. And he ultimately didn't give up on himself. You know what I mean? Like, he was like, fuck it, I got to throw something out there. And it, he just set it up perfectly. And it's like, damn, what a performance and what a moment, like, to witness. Like, after the fight, I was fucking freaking out after the fight. Like, I can't remember the last time I freaked out like that after a fight. And then when you were like, you know how you're watching some fights and they kind of, like, when they're exciting, they go quick. When I was watching Rockhold versus Costa, it felt like the fight was taking a long time. And I felt like that was kind of adding to your, like, sympathy for Rockhold. Because you would just see him taking this punishment and see how tired he was. And see him just, like, continuing to fire back when you thought he had absolutely nothing left. Bending over, putting his hands on his knees. And then still firing the left hand and hurting Costa with it. It was crazy. It was like... And it felt like every time he would do something or like he would get hurt, you would look at the clock and be like, how much time's left? So it's like, and you'd be like, oh, fuck, there's 3 minutes left in the round. And Costa's still like beating him up. And it's like, holy shit. Like, it was just like, it felt like it strung out forever, but it was a legitimate dogfight. And you got to remember too that what Rockhold hasn't fought since 2019 or something like that. I mean, damn, the you cannot deny the man's fucking heart. Like, holy shit, that was a performance. Like, it's crazy because Costa won the fight in dominant fashion, right? Like, he just beat Rockhold up and put him in some troubling situations on the ground. I was surprised with how easily he was able to, like, advance through positions when he got on top of Rockhold. I thought Rockhold might be able to hit some, like, sweeps and stuff, get out of there a little bit easier, at least, like, get back to his feet. And you saw some moments where he was able to, like, get to top and stuff, right? And, like, but, and then at the end, he obviously turned back into Costa's guard when Costa had his back and smeared his blood all over his face and shit, right? Just, like, a fucking crazy fight. But Rockhold, man, just, like, another instance of a guy, like, never giving up on himself, even though that he could have found ways out in that fight, right? Because there were moments where he was tired and Costa would land something big. And Luke just fucking stayed in the fire, man, and fought. And, like, what a way to go out, because, he's still kind of, like, I told him, like, he won the fight. Like, obviously, he, like, but you're going to look back at that fight and you're going to remember the toughness of Luke Rockhold. I mean, and yes, it was a brilliant performance by Paulo Costa, but it's like it will get overshadowed by how tough Rockhold was in the moment with him, like, smearing the blood into his face. Like, that, the way that story is going to get written, it's going to get written in favor of Rockhold. Like, he still wins the story of the fight, if that makes sense. In my opinion, at least. Like, I think that's how history is going to view it, and that's how, at least, I know I'm going to remember it. Like, I'll remember Costa beating him up, but I'll remember Luke being tired and fucking digging down deep and, like, just fucking firing back. Like, damn, like, that took a lot. That has to take a lot. And, like, we referenced this earlier, right, for briefly, but, like, when Dana White said most human beings are not going to know what that's like, he's absolutely right. And, like, I practice, like, I've done jiu-jitsu competitions, right, and they're tiring, but I'm not getting hit in the fucking mouth, right? That's part of the appeal of jiu-jitsu, by the way, is you don't have to go through that. When you're getting damaged, right, by another person's fucking, like, bones colliding with your body, like, your bones, and you're like, you know what I mean? Like, that is gonna fuck you up, and it's gonna exhaust you, and it's a different type of exhaustion, I think, and one that I am not too keen to fucking find out how it feels, and I don't think most people are. And it takes a special human being to step into the cage anyway, but it also, like, there are also special people, like, within those special people, you know what I mean? Like, uncommon people. Uncommon amongst uncommon people, whatever the fuck, I don't know. But anyway, you guys get my point. Like, Rockhold, just, like, he wins the story of that, man, and what a way to go out if it is his last fight. You know, it's a fucking, like, what are you gonna do? You dumped everything you had into your last fight. What more can you ask for, you know? All right, we already covered the first two, so let's keep moving our way down the card, right? Got a little bit, like, not gonna lie, a little more boring with the Merab Dvalishvili and Jose Aldo fight, and You know, it's funny because like I go through periods where Dana White is talking about stuff and I find myself just completely disagreeing with him, right? I'll be like, damn, I'm just like not on the same page with him on this, 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 and this. But then sometimes, like this week, I've been saying like I agree with some of the stuff. He's like, I agree with this too. I think that there is really something to Merab, and he's realizing now that he's getting very close to title contention, and he realizes that him and Aljamain Sterling may have to collide. Something has to happen there. Whether Aljamain Sterling is going to go up in weight or whether Merab is going to branch out, right, and fight his friend for the title, we'll see. Like, does Merab move weight? I don't know. You just progressed and put all this work in at 135 pounds. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And, like, Dana White mentioned that and, like, alluded to that fact. And he was – and, like – was it a boring fight? Yeah, but Merab still dominated. In the grand scheme of things, it's like he's just going to keep moving on and moving on. But with Sterling sitting up there, Merab's getting very close now. Like, this win over Aldo is big. Anytime you beat Jose Aldo, that's going to propel you up through the rankings because Aldo's good. But also, like, speaking of, like, the story of the fight, right? Like, the narrative of this fight is, like, I think everybody kind of agrees on this, right? Jose Aldo just wasn't throwing any fucking offense. Like, he just wasn't throwing anything. And I kind of think in the third round, he was doing, like, not a lot at all. I think he was tired. And I know that Merab didn't actually get any takedowns. But when he's constantly pushing you up against the cage and just weighing on your arms and stuff, I think that's why you didn't see Jose Aldo throwing many punches. I think it was actually a smart approach for Merab. Jose Aldo's takedown defense is fucking legendary, right? Like, what people were saying that during the commentary, Rogan was saying that, like, they're absolutely right. His takedown defense has held up throughout his entire career. But it doesn't mean that it was a bad approach for Merab. Merab did what he had to do to get the job done. But I think he could have, like, maybe put his foot on the gas a little bit more. Maybe took a few more risks because he was able to put such good pressure on Aldo. But it is what it is. It does make you wonder, though, where his head's at now, because he's realizing, like, this title shot is actually going to be, like, realistic. And my friend in my camp could have the belt when it's time for me to start challenging for it. So what happens there? I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. But it was a good performance for Merab overall in terms of, like, a win's a win and it just keeps the train rolling, baby. You know what I mean? Like, if you win, that's the thing about the UFC. If you're winning, you're not going to get cut. They might, if you're not exciting, they might delay your path to the title and make you fight, like, maybe not so high level guys or whatever, or just keep giving you like not high profile fights. But it's almost like there's an argument that that's almost the better path to go through, because it like slowly builds you in a manner that you can handle, like Khabib and like Merab, right? It gets you a lot of octagon time and a lot of octagon experience. And then they get into these big moments and you see that they get to excel because they've accumulated so much octagon time and they're comfortable with it, right? And if they can implement their game plan, even if it's boring, guys like Colby, Merab, Khabib, with that like kind of pressure style, like, man, they're gonna get it done. You know what I mean? And yeah, it's not always the most exciting, but shit. Maybe there's an advantage to working your way up through the rankings a little bit more slowly like that. I kind of think so. I kind of think it makes sense. Like, A, you have a stylistic advantage over a lot of people, and you learn how to implement it against a lot of different styles on your path to the title, whereas guys who skyrocket get introduced to things very drastically, and, like, they kind of struggle with it a little bit. Like, I personally didn't really like the leap for Khamzat, even though he's clearly capable of beating Gilbert Burns. And what else do you do with a guy like him? You have to propel him. He's marketable, like, he's exciting. But I'm just saying, you know, like, there's something to getting a lot of experience before you get into those big moments. And I think it's an advantage that Khabib had, and it's an advantage that, like, Usman kind of had too, right? And Colby, to be honest, you know? Like, even though Colby hasn't won the belt yet, like, if he may still, I don't know. Like, there's something to that, I think. I really do. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, moving on down the card, we'll kind of skate through the rest of this. This will be a quick one today, guys. Lucia Putilova picked up a win over Wu Yanan. And I kind of thought Yanan was going to have the grappling advantage in this one and would maybe be a little bit more comfortable in those gritty situations. But Putilova showed that she was like the superior grappler as well. Got the fight to the ground and picked up a TKO win in the second round. Tyson Pedro came out against Harry Hunsucker, and man, just like Hunsucker previously fought at heavyweight, and I mean, granted, he doesn't have a great record, but it makes you wonder if that drop, that sudden drop in weight, because he didn't necessarily look like he was shredded or anything. He just looked like he lost a bunch of like weight, right? Like maybe a ton of water weight, got to 205, and I think it like drains you and it kind of impacts your ability to take a shot. And he just never got anything going, you know? Pedro landed the jab, hit him with a kick to the body, and ended the fight in the first round, just a little over a minute. Marcin Tybura versus Romanov was a good fight, man. I thought that it was like a good learning experience for Romanov, and that like, yes, you're able to do that to guys, but when you are wrestling large human beings in a fight where it's not, you know what I mean, for 15 minutes, you got to slow the pace down a little bit if you want to be successful, and maybe be okay with not dominating so much, or like not like exerting so much energy trying to keep him on the ground. Let him build his base back up and maybe like mat return him and keep him working in those regards, right? But when you're like putting a lot of effort to keeping a guy grounded in the heavyweight division, it can drain on you, you know? And I think this was maybe the first time Romanov really experienced that and, you know, didn't really have the energy to go for the takedowns and stuff that he wanted to throughout the second and third round. It allowed Tybura to kind of, you know, get his hands going and just kind of get a little bit more volume going and win the fight. So, I don't know. I thought it was a close fight. I kind of thought it was a draw personally, but yeah, learning experience for Romanov. I think he'll be back, though, and I still think he has a ton of potential. If you look at what he can do in the first round, if he can moderate that and put a different pace on people, right, learn to get his hands going a little bit more and mix things up, I think he'll go very far. Jared Gordon picked up a unanimous decision win over Leonardo Santos. Luis Saldana versus Sean Woodson. Man, this was a draw, and it was just a weird fucking fight, right? Like, Saldana hurt Woodson at one point and then just, like, mocked him while he was getting back up, and it's like, go finish the fight, dude. Like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It was just very strange. Anglosa versus AJ Fletcher. I can't remember all the particulars of this one, but I remember, like, AJ Fletcher was looking good early, looking very technical, and then all of a sudden, Loza just started landing, right? Boom, boom, boom. Then was able to get on top more and stuff, like, as the fight progressed and just continued to land, like, that right hand in particular, right? So, he looked great. And a big win for him. AJ Fletcher's a guy with a lot of talent too, but just like, I don't know. Just like once Losa got going and started finding home, it was like, man, hard to stop him. Amir Albazi picked up a first round rear naked choke victory over Francisco Figueiredo, the younger brother of Davison Figueiredo. I'm going to do a breakdown for that one, guys, so make sure that you check it out. I'll post it up here. I always forget which fucking side it's on, but it'll be in one of these corners up here. So check that out. That'll be out either if maybe it'll be out when you guys are watching this, maybe not. But yeah, great performance from Albazi and just very technical jiu-jitsu. So it was a fun one to break down. Ariche Long picked up a decision win over Jay Perrin. Man, Jay Perrin just couldn't find the range. Felt like he was really struggling with that. Couldn't get any combinations going. And Victor Altamirano picked up a first round victory over Daniel Da Silva. Da Silva kind of hurt him with the right hand early, but then Altamirano hit him with that big knee to the body, got on top, and just was able to progressively keep raining down shots until he got him out of there. Man, I think that's it. I mean, we spent most of the time on the top of the card, obviously, right? Talking about Edwards and Usman and Paulo Costa versus Rockhold. I mean, those are the two fights that really everybody is going to be talking about after the card, right? Like, damn, what Edwards pulled off is one of the most incredible feats in UFC history, to be honest, and for sure, in my opinion, the greatest comeback in UFC title fight history, just the way it happened, and, you know, like I said, the fact that it almost had to happen that way, but anyway, I know we kind of blew through the other fights on there, just kind of recapping what happened, but like I said, I'm going to keep this one short and sweet, trying to get back into the swing of things. We're actually going to Italy here in a couple weeks, so I don't know. I know I'm sporadic enough as it is with these fucking podcasts, so, but I'll be out for 2 weeks then, so. But I'd like to get a video out for a breakdown and stuff for the fights coming up between Tuivasa and Gon in Paris. That's a big deal that they're going to be fighting there after, you know, the years and years that MMA was illegal in France. So that's a big deal. But anyway, guys, thank you for tuning in, listening to me ramble. Fucking, like I said, UFC 278 was one of those fights where it like got your blood pumping again. You're like, oh yeah, this is why I fucking watch that shit, right? And unlike any other sport, like in a football game in the fourth quarter, it really truly can, there can be no way at some point for another team to win. Like, the odds of it happening are so insurmountable that it will never, like, it's never going to happen. But in a fight, that doesn't exist. And if you walk out early, you might miss something like what fucking happened, or tune out early, you might miss like something that happened last night. So, fucking great performance by Leon Edwards. I'm actually, I mean, like, it sucks because I'm an Usman fan as well, right? Like, I love his style. I love the way he fights. I love that grit that he has, that like fucking pressure, like that type of like style. I love that. And I like watching Usman fight. I know that a lot of people, and he has that knockout power too. Like, he's just like, man. But to see a new welterweight king in the way that fucking Leon Edwards pulled it off was pretty incredible. So, yeah. Anyway, guys, I'm signing off now. Thank you again for tuning in. Do me a favor, hit the subscribe button if you enjoyed listening, and I will catch you guys later. Adios.